hot mild Indian.
Talk about that, and perhaps how that also relates to the negatives that we're bringing to Krishna.
That can be a positive. It's a very nice statement that we can bring everything to the deity, like surrender everything to the deity. And that's true, although we don't want to like dump our problems on Krishna. But it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that one can place one's problems before the deity. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs, he often places his predicament, his lowly condition, before the Lord. One devotee at the Japa retreat in Ojai said that she did that. That whatever calamity happened, whatever emotion she felt, she would just surrender it. In her case, she said to Srila Prabhupada. And there was a period when she went through a very terrible trauma of divorce and all that that entails. And she said that just like surrendering it to Srila Prabhupada, surrendering herself to Srila Prabhupada and with her, all that was coming with her, it gave her tremendous relief and help. So I think in that mood, it's like part of surrender. You're surrendering yourself, basically, but surrendering yourself means, well, this is what you're getting. when I surrender to you, this is what you're getting. So, you know, it's like that prayer, you know, please try to find some way to bring auspiciousness to this fool. I'm not remembering it, but basically he's... He expresses his fallen condition, and then he prays, you know, please don't reject me, but please find some way to bring some auspiciousness to me. And Srila Prabhupada said that when he was asked, is there a specific form that prayer should take, he said, of course, the main thing is it should come from the heart. But he said, in general, the prayers include three elements. The devotee presents his fallen condition. He glorifies the Lord for his wonderful qualities, and he asks for mercy. Patita Pavana Tava Hetu Avatar, you are Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. Mosama Patita Prabhu, I am the most fallen. Na Pai Bayara, therefore, deliver me first. I don't know if I've answered your question.
I'm just holding it down.
Yeah. That example of Rupa Goswami and the Vaishnava, the way it's described in Bhakti Ratnakar, that when Rupa Goswami laughed, the Vaishnava became very agitated, and he immediately went to Sanatana Goswami to tell him what had happened. And when Rupa Goswami's meditation broke, he understood that the reason was that someone must have approached him while he was in meditation, and he must have offended the person, or the person must have felt offended. And then he felt very agitated that he offended someone. But when he opened his eyes, the Vaishnava was gone. He didn't know where to go. So he went to Sanatan Goswami. And then the two met, and each one felt so bad for having offended the other, because the Vaishnava felt he'd offended Rupa Goswami by thinking that he was laughing at him. And then they expressed themselves to each other, and they felt peaceful. And then all three of them had Krishna Katha. That's a very good example of not keeping things inside and acting on them in a positive way, in a constructive way. It's very good.
There's also another example of a very interesting process in which you can recognize that it exists, and then you just decide, I have anger, I have an issue with someone, because
offenseless chanting. As we chant, we become more aware of our faults and more aware of the good in others. It's just the way it works. And so it will come to the stage. You may not know exactly what you did that makes you deserve worse, but your estimation of yourself is that you turned away from Krishna. What could be worse than that? You turned away from Krishna, you came into the material world. And when you come into the material world, so many things happen. So whatever the details of it are, the basic fact is that you came into the material world. So, and the other part of it is that as you appreciate Krishna more and come to know that he is merciful, then not knowing specifically what worse you did deserve, but you know that by nature Krishna is merciful and compassionate, especially to his devotees, you know that He's minimized it for your benefit, or allowed it to happen for your benefit. But in any case, it's for your benefit, so you don't resent it.
Yes. Can I offer a further alternative? I have been told that one of our godbrothers is awesome.
As Srila Prabhupada said, that Krishna uses the karma of the devotee to the best advantage of the devotee. That he holds on to it, and then he releases it as and when he thinks it will help the devotee, and to the extent that he thinks it will benefit the devotee. And that's, we didn't really get to discuss this verse, but that's the purport of this verse. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana. That even after one has surrendered to Krishna, one still may harbor some trace of attachment to the material world. And to purify the devotee of the remaining traces of material attachments, Krishna will allow the devotee to suffer what appears to be a sinful reaction, but it's not exactly a sinful reaction. But it's Krishna's arrangement to help the devotee. You could say it is a sinful reaction, but because Krishna's in control of it, he releases it to the extent that he thinks will benefit the devotee at the particular time. And therefore, it's not exactly a sinful reaction in the sense that it's the blind workings of one's karma, action and reaction, but it's Krishna's personal care for the devotee. And the devotee who accepts it in that spirit and continues with his Krishna consciousness, earns the right to go back home, back to Godhead. This word Dayabhak means rightful heir, and Srila Sridhar Swami says that that word Jiveta, who lives in this way, who lives, he says that just as a son, all he has to do is remain alive long enough and he'll inherit his legacy from his father. So all the devotee has to do is remain alive in Krishna consciousness, and that means tolerating these reactions or accepting these reactions as Krishna's mercy and continuing with the process of devotional service, chanting our rounds, following the principles, performing our duties. If we just do that, remain alive in Krishna consciousness, we have the right in the end to inherit the kingdom of God. Go back home, back to Godhead. Lindy? She's saying something similar to what Mahatma Prabhu said, that instead of trying to repress it or deny it, we deal with it. And a good way to deal with it is to approach a spiritual authority or friend and express what one's feeling to him or her and seek guidance. And in that case, both the Vaishnava who felt offended, he dealt with, you know, went to Sanatan Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, he also went to Sanatan Goswami, because they presented their situation to a Vaishnav, to a superior Vaishnav. The situation was dealt with. Nityananda Prabhu?
When I was in my father's, I was thinking of, as opposed to repression, tolerance was like positive and repression was like negative.
It's a good example Sarvabhauma Prabhu has given, that when Arjuna asked him to bring his chariot forward so he could see the soldiers who had assembled, he saw Bhishma, his grandfather, he saw Drona, his teacher, and he felt affection for them. He didn't repress his affection or deny his affection. But in the end, he realized that his real relationship was with Krishna as individual soul and supreme soul, and that his affection for Bhishma and Drona and others was based on the body. And even though we may have some affection based on the body, because we're embodied, but still we know that our real relationship is with Krishna and on the basis of the soul. And I think with that I'll just conclude the presentation. There's a pair of verses that I'll cover briefly, because it really takes what you said and sort of concludes the discussion. I think so. The verse is a prayer by Lord Brahma to Krishna. So it's praising the mercy of Krishna. This phrase, Mukti Pade, is translated in the literal way as the position of liberation. But after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was converted from impersonalism to personalism by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he read that verse to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he changed the words mukti pade to bhakti pade. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that mukti pade really means Krishna. It really means bhakti. So you don't have to change the verse, because the meaning really is bhakti. So what the devotee is, what Lord Brahma is saying here is that if one tolerates the effects of one's past karma and expects the mercy of the Lord and continues in Krishna consciousness, it's his right. It's sort of like just that attitude makes him liberated. Because that attitude makes him liberated. And it's his right to serve Krishna. But he's already serving Krishna. But yes, we should never feel that. But in that intimate relationship, one can feel. But what Tamal Krishna Goswami is true for, like, devotees in general, they shouldn't feel that they have any right. But when you have that intimate relationship with Krishna, then you have rights.
would it be proper to say that Lord Brahma was, would that be a correct understanding?
Yes. We can see the difficulties as tests from Krishna. You know, like the father wants to give his wealth to his son, but he wants to make sure that his son will use it properly. So he tests him. And when the son passed the test, then the father is very happy. Oh, he's passed the test. Now I can entrust my wealth to him. And then he gives him the kingdom of God.
So the rightful claim is just glorifying Krishna, not making us feel that we have any real right, but it's...
Well, that's a good question. He's saying that sometimes a devotee will act in such a way that it affects his service. So he wants to forgive the devotee, but at the same time he wants to protect his service. The two are not mutually exclusive. Within your heart, you can forgive the devotee, but externally you can act in a way to protect your service. The two can go together very easily. Yes, Atma Prabhu.
May I add one more thing? Just because I teach this.
So yes, it's very good to be with Mahatma, because he always, what I've understood is that you're basically providing the purport to what I've been saying, just expanding upon it, which is good, because I have a tendency to be maybe too concise. But yes, you can say, yeah. But so coming to this last point, this is a prayer by Queen Kunti to Lord Krishna. Ata vishveshva vishvatman vishva murte sakeshume sneha pasham imam chindi dridam pandusu vishnisu. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Now here, the question may be raised, and Srila Prabhupada does raise the question in the purport, that Kunti was related to two families. She was related to the Vrishnis. She was the sister of Vasudev, who was the father of Krishna. And she was married to Pandu. She was the mother of the Pandavas, and they're also devotees. And as we discussed in the basic definition of Uttama Bhakti, Krishna Anushilanam, Krishna includes Krishna's pure devotees. So affection for devotees is not outside the range of devotional service. So why does Kunti pray for her affection for her kinsmen to be severed? And Srila Prabhupada explains that there are two types of relationships. One is the relationship of the soul, and the other is the relationship of the body. So when she prays for her affection to be severed, she means the affection that's based on the body. So all of us, especially with the people that we're close to, usually in our family or maybe the people we work closely with, there's a spiritual dimension to the relationship, which should be primary, but there may also be a material aspect to the relationship. And so we don't reject the relationship necessarily. Mm-hmm. And we don't deny the feeling of affection. But we try to purify the relationship so that the spiritual dimension becomes more and more prominent and the material dimension becomes less important, more insignificant. And especially in Grihastha Ashram, we don't want to reject the relationship. We don't want to deny the affection. We want to purify the relationship. And that, of course, is done through the medium of Krishna consciousness. Like when I first joined in Boston, there were hardly... Anyway, the movement was new, but one of the lady devotees who had gotten married, she wrote Srila Prabhupada and asked, like, what should be her relationship with her husband, because they, like, very, just wanted to do whatever Prabhupada said. Do I have, you know, affection for him, or what is my relationship with him? And Srila Prabhupada replied that you do have a relationship with him, but through Krishna. So it's just like the right hand has a relationship with the left hand, but it's through the body. So in that way, whatever, husband and wife, parent and child, brother and sister, if Krishna's the central point, then the relationship is very beautiful. And to the extent that I, in the bodily concept, I and mine, I am the center, then it can be disturbed. And it may happen that one may leave the relationship. I mean, it's not something that we'd recommend between husbands and wives and parents and children. It may happen that, like Mahatma was saying, sometimes you just decide to let something go. You know, it's not worth the effort. You're putting so much into it, and it's basically material. It's not becoming very spiritual. You may just decide to leave it. But with our important relationships, with our family members, we don't have to reject the relationship or even the affection. But we purify the relationship by making Krishna more central to the relationship and the bodily aspect less important. And then, next verse, we come to the conclusion. This is what it's meant to lead us to. Kunti prays, Twayi me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udava tad adha gange vogam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always associated with his devotees. So our attraction flowing freely to Krishna means Krishna, his devotees, the Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, the Vrindavan Forest, the cowherd boys, the calves, his mother, his father, gopis, they're all included. And we hope all of you and expect all of you will also be included. Hare Krishna.